나나나 바자 잔나라 잔나. 잠문에 들어봤나 자리 자문에 들어봤나 자리 달갑다 마르바꿈답게 하리 가자 전화를 안 전화 자문을 길어봤나 자리 자문을 길어봤나 자리 가야 바보 가다 자요 바보 바다 바부 바다 시라 바부 바다 바다 바부 바다 바부 바다 바부 바다 시라 바부 바다
Hare Krishna, everyone. Nice Vaikuntha weather today. Can't get much better than this. On our Vaishnava calendar today, it's actually a very auspicious day. It's the appearance day or the birthday of three great teachers in our line. Two of them are part of a team of devotees at Lord Chaitanya, who is on our altar here, who appeared 500 years ago. It was a team that he actually trained to train us. And two of those personalities are being celebrated today. One is Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And they were very important personalities, for they spread Krishna consciousness in many, many wonderful ways. And it's also the appearance day of Krishnadas Kaviraj, who is the author of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And we'll talk about those. And it's also, of course, we're celebrating the victory of Lord Ramachandra over Ravana, the demon, which is probably the oldest epic in the world. And so the climax is when he kills this ten-headed demon. And so we'll discuss a little bit about that also. It's nice. Krishna consciousness has such a variety of festivals and personalities. It's just like unlimited, which helps to engage us. So I picked a couple of verses that I'll read from the Bhagavad Gita, which describe a lot of the qualities that these personalities exhibited. This is in chapter 2. The Bhagavad Gita is the song of God. This is spoken by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right now, his disciple is asking a question, a very important question. Arjuna said, "O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak, and what is his language? How does he sit, and how does he walk?" So here's a little description that Srila Prabhupada gives. As there are symptoms for each and every man in terms of his particular situation, similarly, one who is Krishna conscious has his particular nature, talking, walking, thinking, feeling, etc. Most important is how the man in Krishna consciousness speaks, for speech is the most important quality of any man. The immediate symptom of a Krishna conscious man is that he speaks only of Krishna and of matters relating to him. Other symptoms then automatically follow, as stated below. This is text 55. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. And Prabhupada comments, the highly developed soul always remains satisfied in himself by realizing himself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. Such a transcendentally situated person has no sense desires resulting from petty materialism. Rather, he remains always happy in his natural position of eternally serving the Supreme Lord. So this is a question and a very nice answer of what a transcendentalist is like. And the Supreme Lord is giving a couple of hints to that, and it continues. So if you want to know more, get a Bhagavad Gita and read them. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to study, especially the six Goswamis' lives, because they were exemplary in so many different ways. They were very absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and they took the duty of delivering it to us so that we could be absorbed. And so we should be very thankful that we have this chain of disciples, of great teachers that have passed down all this knowledge so that we can take advantage of it. Such great souls, such saintly persons like this are actually very rare species these days. You don't see a lot of them walking on the streets. We were just downtown in a festival today trying to distribute Krishna consciousness, and you don't see so many saints walking the streets with, you know, preaching and discussing about God consciousness. So we have to take great appreciation. Actually, today, the most attention given to personalities these days, what qualities do they have? Very demoniac qualities. The people that are getting the most attention these days are actually doing horrific activities all throughout the world. And they're trying to be controllers, trying to control other people, trying to possess, trying to expand their colonies, and doing atrocious activities to do that. But they're very charismatic, and therefore they're very popular, right? So it's very much the opposite. But the Vedic tradition is rich of such saintly personalities, so many, with, you know, that really contributed to the peace and welfare of the whole world. And so this line of saints, they actually gave us the absolute truth. They passed on this literature and gave extenuating commentaries so that we could appreciate it and actually take it in our lives. And that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. He wanted us to read and study the scriptures, the teachings of these personalities, and imbibe them and actually become saintly ourselves so that we could actually change the world. So this is a very tall order, because they were delivering the very highest understanding of God consciousness, this science of bhakti, or loving service to the Lord. And it's not that these three personalities, they were just ordinary and became God conscious all of a sudden. They were actually eternal associates of the Lord. Now you might say, well, we're eternally related to God too. Every single one in this room, every personality is an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord originally. But the people here on the planet have taken a little vacation from their association with Krishna. They've actually turned against Krishna at some point. and tried to fill his post. So he sent us here, and here we are, trying very hard to be the supreme controller, but not very much succeeding. But these personalities, these saintly personalities, were eternally associated, always eternally associating. They never left. But they were chosen by the Supreme Lord. Please come with me. I have a mission to do. Please come with me and help me with my pastimes here in the material world. So they're very, very special personalities. And so we should understand that they only came here to assist in the Lord's mission. So we should look up to them. So some of the qualities are described here, and the most dominating one that Krishna describes is that they are dhira. Dhira means one who is very sober and very, very undisturbed, very peaceful with inside because of their contact with the Supreme Lord, their absorption in the Supreme Lord, and their happiness just simply being in their normal position, their original position of serving God and loving God. And this is a wonderful thing. Like I said, it's very, very rare. But they are totally connected to Krishna. And this is the key, that that their senses are so connected to Krishna that the outside influences on their senses, it just does not permeate their mind and their intelligence. The mind intelligence is so purified by this philosophy and so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that no matter what's going on outside, it doesn't affect them. Their senses are quieted. They're quieted. So therefore they're very peaceful. This is a state of samadhi. It's a perfection of yoga to actually be completely absorbed in God consciousness. Something that we're all aspiring for, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We're trying to take part in some activity where our senses are getting closer to realizing that we are eternally connected to Krishna, and we should start doing something about it. And so this, they've actually become transcendental personalities, no longer influenced. So therefore they are dear or undisturbed. But if we look at the material world right now, totally disturbed. Everyone is totally disturbed. I meet so many students and personalities, you know, that they're on antidepressants and anxiety pills and so many things. Just individually, people are disturbed because they don't have this ability to control their senses and to not to be able to filter out the craziness that the material world is just provides. It's just there. So internally, individually, they're upset. And then when they're upset, they try to upset others because they don't want to be alone. Or they sometimes just get so upset with themselves, they do away with themselves. So this is very unfortunate. But also on a societal level, how much disturbance do you read about daily? Different nations and everything, they're all fighting each other and trying to control each other and making up new ways to get rid of the other person. And even between religions, there's disturbance. Even within religions, there's conflict and misunderstanding. Disturbed. The whole world is very much disturbed. Can you imagine if Jesus and Muhammad and all these, you know, great leaders that brought about all these religions, they're probably going, what did we do, you know? But this is what we meant, you know, by God consciousness, you know? Can't you all get along and just serve God together, you know? But even now in this Kali Yuga, even between religions, there's disturbance. But we see that someone like Raghunath Das Goswami, he was actually born in a very rich family, extremely rich family. This was about 500 years ago in India, and Lord Chaitanya was on the planet at that time. The Lord descended due to disruptions in religious preaching on the planet, and he came to actually exhibit what a real pure lover of God is like. And he was on the planet in India at this time. And so Raghunath Das was born also at this time, and he was, like I said, born in a rich family, but being an eternal associate of the Lord, he actually was not interested in these worldly affairs. He just didn't really care for it. His parents were a little disturbed with that. But they found a teacher for him, Balaramacharya. And Balaramacharya was teaching him the Vaishnav culture of how to worship Krishna, and found that, yes, this Raghunath, he's very advanced. Here he has no attraction for material things. And so he introduced him to Haridas Thakur, and then Lord Chaitanya came very close, and so they decided he wanted to take and introduce him to Lord Chaitanya. But the parents refused. No, don't do this. He might leave. You know, he might be so attracted. But Raghunath escaped and went and actually met Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya then left, and he had to go back home to his parents' life and everything, and take up, you know, this position. And but he was longing again to see Lord Chaitanya. So it actually was quite a few years before he heard about Lord Chaitanya's very close associate, Lord Nityananda, right here, the most merciful. He came very close, and again, he was asked if he could go have his association to meet him. But again, they said, no, you can't go. But again, he escaped. And he went and saw Lord Nityananda. And he was explaining the situation, and Lord Nityananda is the reservoir of all mercy. And he said, don't worry. He says, I can see that very soon you will get to join Lord Chaitanya. You'll get his mercy. So just be patient. And so he went back to his parents, and he actually got married and really wasn't into that scene, but he did it to please his parents. And then I think it was another 2 years when he finally, that mercy came and was revealed, and he was able to actually go and join Lord Chaitanya. And of course, Lord Chaitanya was extremely pleased to have his associate back with him. And he was actually instructing Raghunath Das very intimately on the science of devotion, because he knew that this personality is going to deliver this message when I'm gone. He will be my mouth. And so Raghunath Das got a lot of intimate association. But Lord Chaitanya was very impressed with this Raghunath Das, because he was, although in such a worldly upbringing, he was very, very renounced. He actually went through a whole scene where his parents were so concerned about him being taken care of, you know, that here he is a mendicant now. And so they were sending him money and foodstuffs, all kinds of things. But Raghunath used him in Krishna's service. And after a while, he thought, no, I shouldn't really even be doing this. I should just renounce it. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to see him take that position of being very simple and very, very pure. And so he actually led a life of great renunciation, completely forgetting his bodily existence many times, just drinking little buttermilk every few days, if he remembered to do that, and sleeping underneath a tree every night with just a simple cloth around his body, one cloth. So this is, definitely renounced. But also he was very humble. Every day he would 2,000 times offer his respects to devotees. He would find different devotees in the village and pay his respects. And he would pay 1,000 obeisances, hands out. And then he would chant 100,000 names of the Lord. So this was his activities. And then writing, transcendental knowledge. And of course, lecturing and preaching. And so this, one time he actually met this Krishnadas Kaviraj, whose appearance date is also. And the story behind Krishnadas Kaviraj is that he was born at a time when Lord Chaitanya had already left the planet, very soon after he had left the planet. So he was born in the Bengal area, and Lord Nityananda was still on the planet. So he got his association, and he was raised a great Vaishnav. But he was always lamenting that he didn't have Lord Chaitanya's association, and he was thinking that, oh, I've missed such an opportunity. But his family, he had an unfortunate situation. Well, actually, it ended up to be very fortunate. But within his family, which were Vaishnavas, there was one member who didn't really think that Lord Nityananda was worthy of the praise as being an associate in it, as impure like Lord Chaitanya. This personality just could not accept Lord Nityananda's position. And this, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj was practically a disciple of Lord of Nityananda. So he got very upset, and he didn't know what to do. Just like you're trying to raise Krishna-conscious children, right? And if all of a sudden they go, I don't believe in this Krishna. I'm out of here. I don't want to have anything to do with Krishna. You'd be like, oh my gosh, you'd lose a lot of sleep, right? You know, oh my. So he was in the same situation. Oh, this personality, my family, you know, I can't live like this. I can't be around. And so in the night, he had a dream. And the personality in the dream said, go to Vrindavan. Go to the holy land of Krishna. And so that the next morning, packed his bag and started walking towards Vrindavan. And he just left his family. And when he got to Vrindavan, he met this Raghunath Das, who we were just talking about. And he was under the care of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das. And he took their shelter and learned so much and exchanged realizations and chanted and preached and became a very respected Vaishnav in that community. He was a brahmachari the whole time, and he was a scholar also, did a lot of studying. And then he actually, one of his statements was that, I don't fear anything, he said, except for one thing. I fear the materialistic influence. I don't want that. So therefore, he took shelter of these devotees. And when he was older, and this is quite a bit older, when he was actually invalid, his shaking hands and his eyesight was very, very poor, and his hearing was going bad, and he was having a very, very difficult time being in his body. But the Vaishnav said, Krishnadas Kaviraj, please, can you write down what Raghunath Das has told you about Lord Chaitanya? Because there wasn't anything written at that time. And so he said, no, this is unsurmountable. I can't do this. I can barely see. I can't even write. And the devotees begged him, please, please, you must give us this gift. And so he went and said, well, I have to have, you know, the permission of the Vaishnavas and of the Supreme Lord. And so he was very attached to the Madan Mohan deity. So he went in front of the deity and placed himself there. And at that time, one of the flower garlands fell off right in front of Krishnadas Kaviraj. And everyone goes, see, you have the permission. So he took that as a sign, and somehow or other he got the potency to write down these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. No easy task, I'm sure. First of all, it's not like you can just sit at a computer or a dictaphone and just do it that way. You personally had to do some kind of a writing with some kind of a pen, some kind of paper for where you got it, not from Office Depot, that's for sure. You know, and here they are in the forest too. You can only write when it's daytime, and there's no lights. There might be a tiger sitting in the forest behind you waiting to eat you up. And this is true. At that time, there were tigers around there. All kinds of things. Mosquitoes biting you. No fan. Just picture the scene. We can't understand what it must have been like to live there. Very difficult. What less in your old age writing volumes of literature trying to remember all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So it's such a contribution. I actually was in Portland, Oregon. I think it was 1972 or something like that. And I remember the day that the books arrived, the Chaitanya Charitamrita arrived. And I was actually pregnant at that time. And I remember thinking, wow, the books are here. I can read it to the infant in my womb and they'll get purified. So that's what I did. I opened up the boxes and there were 13 volumes with all the pictures and all the wonderful stories of Lord Chaitanya. So many things we never knew about the Lord and about his pastimes. It was just like, you know, a treasure box. And every day, wow, another story. And so it really is Srila Prabhupada's gift also, our saint right here, that translated all those books from Bengali, or actually they were written in Sanskrit, to English, and now it's all over the world, and people are learning about the glories of Lord Chaitanya because of this personality, Krishnadas Kaviraj. So we can thank him for that. And you can see that all these great personalities, when they were in Vrindavan, what did they do? They chanted, they read, they studied, and they preached. And that's what we do, right? I saw some picture on a t-shirt, kirtan t-shirt. I don't know if it's that one or not, but it says, kirtan, this is what we do. And that's what we do. Is it on that one? Yeah. This is what we do. We do chanting. And this has been passed down, and this is what we do. That's what we did today downtown. Thousands of people got to hear the holy name, and it's changing the world. It really is. Actually, I think it was Sukada that told me that she read an article from a Scottish scholar that just wrote some article saying that, really, how many Hare Krishnas? Are we all Hare Krishnas? Because now the world, they know about, you know, they know about chanting, they know about meditation, they know about, you know, vegetarianism, you know. So just see the influence of this knowledge that's been passed down. And the third person is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and he was born actually as the son of Tapan Mishra, who was also a great devotee and associate of Lord Chaitanya. But he was very small when Lord Chaitanya came and ate lunch at Tapan Mishra's house. He was very, very small, but he got the permission to massage Lord Chaitanya's feet and also to wash the dishes. And so he, of course, Lord Chaitanya only stayed a short time and then he left. And so all the time, Raghunath Bhatta was thinking, oh, if I could just be with Lord Chaitanya, such a saintly person. And so, but later on, when he was older, he actually got to go to Puri and become Lord Chaitanya's cook. And he also got to recite Bhagavatam. And he also, what else did he do? Cook. And he got to do some other, you know, menial service. But it was such a wonderful thing that he got to do. He was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But Lord Chaitanya said that he gave him instructions, please don't get married. Live a very simple life. And I want you to know and study the Bhagavatam. To study the Bhagavatam in great depth so that you can preach to others this. And so he took this to heart, and that was his activities. And his cooking, it was said, it was like nectar of the gods. It was so wonderful. Wouldn't you all like to be able to cook like that? And he was a singer. And he would sing in beautiful tunes, different verses. Recently we had one nice devotee who used to live here. His name was Krishna Sarup. And he's a devotee from Nepal, and he sings beautifully. And I remember I got to go to a household, a party over here, and he was there, and we asked him to sing Queen Kunti's prayers. Oh my gosh. It was just so beautiful. You know, you could see where this art was so pleasing, is so pleasing to the devotees to hear all these verses sung melodiously in different tunes. And this personality, Raghunath Bhatta, he could sing in two different tunes all the Bhagavatam. It was said it was as sweet as a cuckoo bird he would sing. So this was his service to the devotees. He also started temples along with the other Goswamis, so that there would be places where people could come together and have this exchange of realizations. He also was very renounced, but in a different way. Not renounced that he would, you know, just renounced everything, but he used his talents in the service of the Lord. And this is something we should learn, that we all don't have to give up our households, give up our families, and put on one little piece of cloth, but we can just use whatever Krishna's given us and use it in Krishna's service. And this will be very pleasing to the Lord. So these personalities, yes, very, very special. And we can see that when a normal person dies, the memories, they start to fade. You know, after a while, oh yeah, I remember him, yeah. But then these great saintly personalities, their memories last longer and longer and longer. Even the Catholics, if you go to the Vatican, how many have ever been there? There are statues everywhere of their saints. And actually, they had many, many saints, and they're still very popular. You can see where they go in and they put their hands on their feet and put it on their head, actually, and on their heart. The feet of the saints are all worn off, you can see. So yes, great personalities, their memories go on and on. So we should not get tired of hearing these pastimes of these personalities, because they've succeeded in stepping out of this whirlpool of material existence. They've actually done that. They've actually become so absorbed with just Krishna on their mind. But Srila Prabhupada has said that that it is our duty to get out also. But it's not that easy, is it? We don't live in Vrindavan in a little forest, all the way away from everything, unconnected to the world. We are so connected with our iPods and our E's and our O's and our pods and our pads and everything, right? Sense gratification is at our fingertips. Whatever you want, wherever you want, it's there. We're bombarded by it. We can't get away from it. So how are we to do this? How are we to make this achievement? Our senses are agitated all the time. What's on our mind? Sense gratification, right? So hard to get it off. So therefore, we have to work harder. We have to actually take shelter of these great Vaishnavas and of the holy name and of these books and of these teachings. We really need to take that shelter. Otherwise, Maya has her business to do. So we have our homework to do daily. We have to bombard ourselves with Krishna consciousness. And it's not that it's not able to be done. There are successes, even in ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada announced that Jayananda Prabhu was a saint, right? Someone just posted on Facebook a picture of Jayananda. More of what you can see are his boots, his big heavy work boots, and his blue jeans, and his sikha sticking out, and he's on top of a Roth cart hammering away. So not quite like these Goswamis in their loincloth, with nothing but a little water pot and, gentle, Jayananda was a hard worker, but Prabhupada said he was a saint. Why? Because his heart was totally surrendered. He was tired of the material world. I've had it with it. Enough of it. Enough lifetimes being here. Now, dedicate this one just for the service of my spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada noted him. He's a dedicated person. He's very sincere. He has all these saintly qualities. He didn't know Sanskrit. He didn't seem qualified compared to the Goswamis or anything. But he was qualified because he pleased his spiritual master. And he had great devotion and love for this process of devotional service. So we don't know. Right now, you're in a hand's reach of many, many Vaishnav saints on either side of you. We might not see it that way. We might just externally look at someone and say, no, not quite. But right next to you, on either side of you, in front of and back of you, these are all great saintly persons. We have to realize that we can't judge people just by seeing. And this is the month of Kartik. Like she said, make a lot of advancement. And usually I know that you're encouraged to make a vow or to pray for some extra strength. So I might suggest that you somehow or other ask the Lord to give you the strength to make your eyes such that you only see saintly qualities in everyone. And then you become blind, completely blind to any bad quality. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could do that for this, at least for 30 days, 15, 10, however many days you can do it? It's so difficult because we are so judgmental. So this is something we can pray to have that vision, to see the saintliness in everyone and encourage everyone to improve. There's always room for improvement. Therefore, there's satsanga. There's the exchange of relationships. Raghunath Das is a wonderful example. He actually, if he ever heard anyone criticize anyone, he would run away. Pretty far out, huh? That'd be hard to do also. Sometimes you sit there and you tolerate it, but it's not good, it's poison. So, and also Raghunath Das and these other Goswamis, they built temples so that we could come together like this and exchange realizations and encourage each other in so many different ways to improve this lifetime, become a little bit more saintly this lifetime. It won't be lost. It'll only make us a little bit closer to becoming real bhaktas of the Lord. So we need to have this exchange. And also another example of these great Vaishnavas is that when they came to Vrindavan or came to a bunch of devotees, what did they do? They were put in care, in the care of Srup Damodar or in the care of Raghunath. They were put in the care of another devotee. They weren't just left on their own. Okay, now I have to figure it all out. I have to get strong. I have to become pure. I have to, on your own. No way. They were all always under the care of somebody else. Now, I can say I'm under the care of Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, which is true. I take shelter of him. But also a living care, someone who can tap you on the shoulder, say, Prabhu, I think you're a little off, you know, I think you could, maybe you should chant a little more, maybe you should do this, you know, maybe if you went here, let's do something together, or let's improve this way together. So this is also important that each one of us should be under the care of another devotee. And if we aren't, and think that we don't need anybody else, it's not a safe position. So we should take the example of here and take shelter of the holy name and of the devotees. And while we're here in the temples, it's like a nest. We get trained and we get enthusiastic for devotional service, and then we get sent out, like these devotees, sent out to preach and to spread Krishna consciousness. Because the world right now is devoid of spiritual leaders. It needs spiritual leaders desperately. Even if some of these other leaders were giving some spiritual help, they probably wouldn't take it. But we should realize that it's very much needed. And that brings us to the example of Lord Ramachandra, who was the greatest example of the most saintly, righteous monarch or king. This was millions of years ago. We have to go back millions of years now, that the Lord could realize that this planet was needed some purification, a real example of what it's like to rule as a godlike person. And so he appeared and he upheld all religious principles. Can you imagine a ruler today upholding all religious principles? Sometimes when you drive into cities, they have this one of those round signs and it says zero tolerance for drugs and things like that, you know, when you come into a city. So Lord Ramachandra had zero tolerance for anything, any impurity in his kingdom. And he even had to undergo great austerity to prove that he would uphold that purity. And that's the story of the greatest epic of all time, the Ramayana. Ram Raj is still, is the dream of everyone to have someone like Lord Ram to rule the earth planet. And he was a ruler of the whole world. And but he had his demoniac forces he had to deal with also. And Ravana, of course, the ten-headed demon, he was there. And he had the gall and the audacity to go and actually steal the Lord's consort, to think he can enjoy without God, his consort. So he made a big mistake. And he became a thief, of the most precious thing to Lord Ram. And so Lord Ram had to, of course, punish him, just like all thieves should be punished. And that's the story of the killing of Ravana, which we're going to get to take part in just a little while. We're going to actually run out there and watch this demon get an arrow shot into his heart, and he'll be burst into flames. So this is the way that Lord Ram got rid of his demons. But Lord Chaitanya, just 500 years ago, he came here. And he brought a weapon with him. What was it? The holy name and his beauty. Lord Chaitanya was very gorgeous, golden complexion, long arms that reached down to his knees when his hands were down. And he had wonderful associates and a beautiful process of chanting through the streets to get everyone to sing and dance and become purified, to get rid of those demoniac qualities that haunt us. And actually right now the whole world is haunted by this terrorism. It's a horrible vibration that really it haunts the world. It's a very difficult vibration to get rid of. But this weapon of the holy name is such a potent vibration that it can rid all that fear away. And so Lord Chaitanya wants us to multiply our armies and go out there on the streets and actually spread that vibration throughout the world so that everyone could see that this love of God is just in my heart. This peace of mind, this satisfaction is there within myself if I just chant these holy names. So this is a movement that will benefit everybody. It benefits ourselves and it benefits the world. And there's proof of it. So many wonderful people are coming to our temples and changing their lives and improving their situations. And before you know it, it won't just be the saints of the past, days of yore, but it'll be the history books filled now with stories of saints from this ISKCON, this Hare Krishna movement. It'll pages and pages from now on will be of the saints. So we should take advantage and take part as much as we possibly can in this process and try to improve our lives and the lives of everybody else. So maybe some people have some questions or some other additions to some of the lives of these great saints. It's just a very brief rundown since we had so many people, so many great personalities to talk about with today. And I didn't really do justice to Lord Ram. But the Ramayana is, I don't know how many volumes long. There's no way I could tell that whole story. But it's a wonderful story. Yes. You're going to have to speak really loud if it's not working. Not anyone know how to turn it on? Well, when you speak of Jayananda, let's say, Srila Prabhupada said that he had a heart of gold, that he was pure, he was dedicated, he had devotion. He had no other interests except for the interests of the Lord. And like it says here, because he had no other interests, he never spoke of anything except for about Krishna. And he gave that Krishna in different ways to different people as he did his service. So, yes, if we can just dedicate our lives and our tongue to vibrating these holy names, seems to be what's being stressed here also, is to always speak of and talk of Krishna. I was just hearing while we were cutting up the vegetables this morning, and one of the memories and with Swamala Krishna Goswami said, how many pure devotees? I guess we can equalize that with the saint. How many pure devotees are there in this movement? And Prabhupada said, so how many devotees are in the movement right now? And he said, oh, about 10,000 or something. He said, so there's that many pure devotees. So we have to be sincere. We have to be dedicated. And just stick to the shelter of the other devotees. But we should never think of ourselves as saintly. We should always think of everyone else as saintly and treat everyone with that respect. Then we're safe. Of course, an acharya is one who teaches by example also, so that's very important. As Satan, Arjuna is saying, how does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? And so we understand, we had faith in Prabhupada because everything he said, everything he did, was exactly, he was preaching and doing the exact same thing. Anybody else? Is everybody ready to go? Oh, okay, go ahead. And so you said, That's true. Yeah, it's a choice. Yeah.
Am I going to be looking on Facebook?
True.
Am I going to be looking on Amazon for products?
Yeah, we have to have a filter. We really need a fine filter. And it's our desire. Like I was over in the barn, and Bhakta Clay is putting a new muffler on this machine, on the lawnmower. And it's so loud. I mean, and he was working, but he was playing Srila Prabhupada, and I said, boy, how many things of Prabhupada do you have on that little gizmo, that little thing you stick in, you know, I don't know what do you call them. And he says, I have 800, you know, things from Prabhupada. I said, wow. And although he was working on this greasy machine and everything, he was hearing Prabhupada. I said, have you listened to all of them? He goes, no way, I haven't listened to all of them. You know, I said, oh, mine's a cheap one. I only got like, you know, three whatever those things are. You know, I hardly got anything on mine. So yes, you can take advantage. You can take advantage and is to listen to all this depends on our filter, if we want to have a tight weave or a big holes in it. So it's up to us. Yes? Kali Yuga is what's around us right now. It's the age of dissension, of hypocrisy. It's the last of four ages, and we are just getting into it, although I think it seems like it's a little ahead of schedule. it's the last age where everything is declining. We're getting short-lived, a little lazy, especially for spiritual life, and so we have to work harder, and we have to clasp onto the feet of the great Vaishnavas and not let go. Put duct tape around it so we can't let go. So it's a hard age, but we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and he's made it very easy with this process of honoring nice prasadam right now and singing and dancing, chanting. So this is what we do. So let's do it. Hare Krishna.